This is Edge of the Web Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks. If you are new to the show, you're in for a treat. This is a special show that we're doing today. We're celebrating the official 500th episode of Edge of the Web. Go!
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. Powered by your digital marketing pioneers, Site Strategics. This week's featured guest is... Whoa, that was an epic fail. What the heck? Haven't you guys been doing this for 10 years?
Okay, that happened. Might as well get on with the show. We've been blessed to be able to speak with some top talent around the world over the last 10 years, and we've been able to learn so much from the best and having a great time doing it. Joining me on the show for the 500th is the indomitable Morty Oberstein. Morty, head of SEO branding over at Wix. How you doing, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
Happy 500th.
Happy 500th to you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And a good day to you, sir, to quote the Bows game.
And a good day. We also have Jacob Mann, who's on the stick here today.
Howdy.
How you doing, sir?
So we've got predictions for the Indy 500, right? That's what we're doing?
That's what we're doing, yes.
All right. Colton Herta won the road course. So, and I think someone told me, I don't know if this is true, that the last three people to win the road course also went on to win the 500. So Colton Herta for the 500.
Fantastic. All right.
Show over.
That's it.
Drop the mic. Is the Indy 500, is that related to the Triple Crown?
I think so. I think the Triple Crown in racing is like,
it's a circuit. Yeah.
No. There's like a triple.
This is where you guys have a horse racing a car, right?
No. I forget what it is. I'm going to look it up now.
But okay. All right. So we'll get back to you here as we do this. All right. So Morty's over here regularly. He's on the news podcast of Edge of the Web. And I wanted to bring him on and have some fun as we celebrate the 500th episode. So here's the deal. You know the 500 server code, right? For all the geeks in the audience, that is a broken request any way, shape, or form. Basically, the web server could not fulfill the request. So for whatever reason, it's just bad news. Anyway, for the 500th, we decided to kind of lean into that theme. So we're talking about epic fails today. But what are the stories of epic fails that industry leaders have experienced? We reached out to a number of friends of the show, and they had actually shared some great stories, some epic fails that they experienced. I mean, how best to learn from our mistakes, right? Truly. So we're going to celebrate the 500th as we go over the edge with some of our most favorite guests over the years. The title sponsor of this episode is Ahrefs. We're proud to have Ahrefs as a title sponsor for this episode of Edge of the Web. Ahrefs is a fantastic marketing tool. It gives you great insights on performance of your website, as well as some analysis on the competition. Ahrefs has a great tool to analyze your website's behavior and key opportunities for improvement. So go over to edgeofthewebradio.com/AWT today. That's AWT. And you can get their free tool to see what you can do today to execute some quick wins against your competition. We'll be talking about a little bit more in the show today, but we just do want to thank Ahrefs for their continued support over the years and helping us celebrate the 500th episode. All right, let's tee it up here. We all made mistakes, and there's so many times that we just don't hear about the mistakes. Well, we're wired to share successes, not failures, right? That makes sense. You really don't want to air your dirty laundry out there. But sharing in our failures helps us in so many ways. Not only teaching others to avoid pitfalls that we've experienced, but by sharing, we also learn something about ourselves as well. So we've picked 10 submissions from guests that we actually did outreach to over the years that we've had on the show. Some great stories, and we'll be sharing more on Twitter, so you want to watch there as well. Our title sponsor is also jumping in and wanting to promote this by sharing additional stories after the show airs, and we'll tell you a little bit about that. So, Morty, we're about to dig into a lot of great stories of how things just crashed into the side of a cliff here for the 500th episode. And hopefully that doesn't happen to the show here, but before we get started, any thoughts about what we're about to experience? Because I know you haven't seen it, but what do you think about just sharing fails to the SEO and digital marketing community?
Well, if you're asking me not to reply back with sarcasm and, and cynicism, you might get a 500 error. No, I'm kidding. I don't make fun of people's failures. That would be horrible. No, we do. I submitted a video. I don't know if I'm going to watch my own video or not. Again, for the record, I have not seen any of these videos.
No, you haven't.
Could be like, really, like, really? That person? Shocking. Probably not. Because we all, I mean, we all screw up all Absolutely. The time. And if you don't, you're full of crap.
And see, everybody poops.
except the Queen of England. She doesn't.
No, she does not. No, and that's the thing, that we put the shine on the apple too much.
It's true.
Because you don't want to be able to demonstrate how you screwed up. I mean, it doesn't, on the surface, it doesn't help create clout, expertise, what have you, because, you know, boy, I don't want him to screw up on our site, right? But the fact of the matter is, unless you've actually made mistakes, you haven't learned what not to do through your entire career. So, my gosh, I mean, I can't count the number of times that I've screwed up with...
Jacob, can you count?
Nope.
He just can't count.
No comment.
So, I mean, it's part of the industry, part of just doing work is figuring out how to actually avoid what just happened. All right. So, video one from the Benjamin Shapiro of Voices of Search. Why don't you roll that one, Jacob?
Podcast crossover.
I'm saying.
Hi there. My name is Benjamin Shapiro. I am the host of the Voices of Search podcast. Congratulations to Aaron and the team at Edge of the Web for your 500th episode. Today, we're sharing some of the mistakes we've made along the way. And I want to tell you a little story about how technical SEO cost me the exit of my first startup. So I was running strumschool.com, near and dear to my heart, a marketplace to connect guitar students and teachers together. Originally, it was going to be an online learning marketplace, video chats. We realized that model didn't work. So we just started creating a bunch of content, getting a lot of people to the website and trying to upsell them on subscriptions. We finally got to the point where we had enough traffic that we had a potential buyer lined up. And the week we were negotiating our exit, we were hit with a manual penalty from Google. From 30 to 35,000 unique visitors a day down to 3,000, the whole deal went up in smoke. Technical SEO matters, folks. Turns out you can't do whatever we were doing with our previews to try to block people from seeing the content, but still keep it exposed in Google. Google didn't like that. Neither did our exit partners. We all make our mistakes. And now I'm a podcast host. So again, Aaron, Edge of the Web team, congratulations. I hope sharing our mistakes has helped everybody else be successful. Congratulations for all the mistakes you've made along the way.
So... he congratulated me on the number of mistakes I've made.
Right. Also, is he trying to say that the reason why you're a podcast host?
I think so, by association, because we're both podcast hosts. So we both screwed ourselves up so bad that this is all we can do.
I mean, there is an old adage, those who can't teach.
I was going to say, like, I was literally going to say, those who can't SEO podcast. Wow.
That's
I
just fantastic.
Put myself under the bus too.
So he dealt with a manual penalty, as many did around 2012. And I mean, that was huge. The game changed overnight. So there was a lot that people experienced. And Ben was actually on episode 372 and 373 a few years back. Morty, any thoughts about the manual penalties? Did you ever experience something like that?
Never, like where I lost a giant deal because of it. That's great that he was so honest about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. Video number two that we want to bring over, Marie Haynes of Marie Haynes Consulting. She was also on episode 325 talking about Google Eat, but roll that beautiful bean footage, sir.
Hey, Edge of the Web listeners, Marie Haynes here. So I've made lots of mistakes in my career. I was thinking about a time when I was a solo consultant and I had a new client and I quoted them for a job and I severely underquoted. I started to do the job, it was a link audit, and realized that I had quoted something like $2,000 for the job. And it was a job that was gonna take me an extremely long period of time, and really, if I had properly quoted, it was like a $7,000 job. job. So my first instinct as a solo consultant and kind of new in the game was to just eat it up and do the work and not say anything because I didn't want to lose this client. And instead, I went to the client and was totally honest and said, look, I really missed the mark on this quote. And I offered to meet them halfway. I can't remember what the number was, something like 3,000 or 4,000. And they said, no, send the full invoice for 7,000. And they've been very good clients since then. I've done lots of work for them. They've been advocates for me, and it's been really, really great. So I guess the take-home message is everybody makes mistakes, and the best thing is to own up to them. People are generally good, and people understand that we're not all perfect. And so mistakes are they're painful, but they're not always a bad thing. So I hope that helps. Congrats on your 500 episodes. That's fantastic. And take care.
Thank you, Marie. That was pretty cool. And lesson learned there is just be honest with the client, right? Yeah, you can always screw up on quoting. And boy, how many times have we gotten into something that was way too much work than we could have ever foreseen? And a lot of this is inside this industry. You don't know what you're about to, pull the cap off and see inside. There's going to be a very hot mess in there. But I think honesty with the clients is incredibly important, and be able to be factual and truthful about the amount of time that you spend on something. Morty, have you experienced kind of deep diving and losing your shirt in the process?
I took away a very different lesson from this.
What's that?
It was quote something really, really low. And then when they're already tied in, it's too late. Go back. You raise the price.
If you want your report, you're going to have to pay for it. I don't think that's what her message was.
Oh, that's my bad. Oh. Yeah, I've done that before.
Everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah, this is the, like, you know. So I get a lot of, like, people like know my SEO. So, yeah, you can either look at my site, and I'll pay $100. I'm like, sure. Yeah, like, no problem. I don't mind. You know, fine. And no big deal. I like doing this stuff anyway. And then you're like, okay, so like, there's really nothing going on here. Wow. Like, this isn't this entire, like, you don't have like a business strategy that goes along with the SEO part of this. And I don't know what the hell to do with this. And this is a whole giant conversation that we need to have. What the hell did I just get myself into?
Yeah. And those are some even more honest conversations. It's like, okay, you don't have anything to be able to work with. Those are tough conversations. All right, video number 3 from Johnny Ross of Fleek Marketing. He was on our show here recently. He's talking about canonical tags. Go.
Hi, I'm Johnny Ross from Fleek Marketing. Congratulations on the 500th episode. That is just amazing. It's absolutely brilliant. So, epic fails. Well, canonical tags. We were really trying to implement something clever across a huge e-commerce website. There was lots of question mark, category equals, all sorts of strange URLs going on across the entire website. In fact, you know, where you'd have one page, 40 or 50 versions of that page were being created. So we were putting in some really clever canonical tags across the category pages, across the product pages, across the service pages, across the entire website. We put it in place. Something went wrong somewhere. And we're going back a few years, and it took us a little bit of time to realize we really screwed up. In fact, there was some kind of bug in the code, and we'd made every single canonical tag the homepage. So basically, we'd taken sort of 30,000 pages across the website and said to Google, actually, there's only one page on this site. It's the homepage. It was a disaster.
Oh, my Lord.
We fixed it. The developer got shot. No, he didn't really. Make sure that if you're going to implement canonical tags, that you implement them correctly. And in fact, I've seen people implement canonical tags by simply making the canonical tag equal the URL that the user's on. What good's that? It needs to be the correct URL, of course. So don't make that epic fail. Take care. Speak soon.
Johnny Ross from Fleet Marketing. He was just on the show here talking about Schema on episode 492. Canonical tags. What a huge response from Google on a meta tag there. So the incredible disaster. But I mean, the fact of the matter is you have to get this stuff right. And you also have to test. One of the key things there, if you're rolling out site-wide code here, you better be fully on the screws there to be able to see if it's testing correctly. Morty, ever shot yourself on the foot like that?
Not like that. No. Yeah, I've shot my foot in many other ways. I've blown my foot off before. But it's really trying to consolidate that authority all into one
home page.
Yeah.
It's kind of Highlander, one page to rule them all. All 30,000. All right, so video four from Garrett Sussman over at iPoolRank. This one's really good. Your jaw is going to drop on this one. So
Garrett's a personal favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it, Garrett.
Okay, epic fails. Oh, there's this one that still makes me cringe to this day. Hi, I'm Garrett Sussman of iPoolRank, and I used to work for content marketing for a SaaS company in the local SEO space, like online reviews, right? So I remember you gotta all be up to date on everything Google My Business, right? Knowing all the features. So they come out, reviews, they give you the opportunity to create this custom vanity URL link for asking for new reviews. So, you know, like everything, I'm like trying things out and I want to try out and get the specialty name for my SaaS brand. Well, I go to put it in and Google's like, nope, can't do it. Not going to happen. I'm like, okay, what the hell? Is my like review software not allowed to get a vanity URL because like we're a competitor? Like, what about my other competitors? So I took another vanity URL from the name of a competitor. And I was like, oh, I'll try this to see if it works. So I put it in and it worked. And so next thing I know, maybe like 4 hours later, someone from the local SEO world is like, holy crap, look at these jackasses over on blah, 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 you know, serp name who's stealing the vanity URL from Google My Business of their competitor. The next 24 hours, I have like everyone in the local SEO space saying, oh my God, these guys are total jerks. Look at that. And I'm just thinking to myself like, it was a mistake. I was just trying something out and it didn't let me revert it. I couldn't like release it. It took 2 weeks. Fortunately, competitors were super nice guys. Actually ended up working with them in the future, but it's one of those things I still look back on and I cringe at that error in judgment in that moment, especially when it wasn't like instantly reversible and you have that 24-hour Twitter cycle where everyone's just saying like your name with like a bad taste in your mouth reputation. Oh, it just hurts. It just hurts so bad. Anyway, that was my 500 web error epic moment story. I have nightmares thinking about it. Thankfully, I didn't get fired. There weren't too many consequences. And everyone forgot until I brought it up now. Yeah, this is Garrett. Signing off.
The Twitterverse can be unforgiving. That's for now.
Especially local? Oh, man. Right, they think you're doing something spammy.
Oh boy,
a lot of bricks.
So you catch that in that nobody knew about it until now. So, all right. Well, he's an awesome guy.
Done that before though. Like you're playing around with something, you know, in a CMS or whatever it is. It's not working. You throw something in there. You hit a button. And I once de-indexed a page. For months because I couldn't get it recrawled again because Google has one of those times where it was that bug where you were taking like months to get something recrawled.
Yep.
I couldn't figure it out, like what's going on with this. I clicked the button and like, oh crap. I just happened to be that I just blocked Google from crawling this page and they happened to try to crawl it and now they're not coming back for months. So good job, Morty.
We've had a couple clients where we pointed out, hey, by the way, are you intending to keep that away from Google because it's been gone for a few months here? Hey, we're stars in that case because we can unfetter it. But oh my Lord, I mean, you gotta be careful, and you also have to test and make sure that it's not irreversible. All right, video five from Tim Schmoyer over at Video Creators. Check this one out. This one will drop your jaw.
Back in 2008. era on YouTube, back when videos were still going viral organically, I had a clip that I was like, this one is gonna be a winner. I published it to YouTube and I was right. Within a few days, it had gained a few thousand views, which back then was like, okay, this is turning into something. And it was getting lots of traction and it was getting lots of shares. And I saw this thing going big. Well, one thing I did not consider is that there was there was a child in the video whose permission I did not have full permission from the parent to publish this video. And I didn't think it was a big deal. I didn't think anything of it. It's a cute, fun clip, right? But there was a lot of criticism in the comments about this kid due to the content of the clip, which was actually kind of charming, kind of fun, but you know how internet comments can go, right? And the parent, when they saw this video going big, they were livid with me. And I relationships are more important to me than just trying to have a viral video. And so I deleted the video from YouTube. And I was like, okay, sorry, you're right. So I just deleted the video. Well, unfortunately, many other people had downloaded the video in that time and re-uploaded it to YouTube once mine was taken down. Oh. And someone else published it and it went bigger, even faster. People were looking for this clip, wanting to share it. Where did it go? Why can't I play it? And then before long, I was getting text messages from people, friends of mine in other states saying, hey, I see this, your clip. It's on Insider Edition on television. I'm at this restaurant. And it went huge. It was like on all of these big gossip websites. It was going mega viral, most people's dream. Except for I made one really big mistake. Well, one mistake was like, okay, get permission from parents before we publish videos of their kids. Note to self, right? Obviously, now we know that. Back then, we didn't think about that kind of stuff as much. Two, I deleted the clip from YouTube, and unfortunately, because I deleted it, I could no longer prove that I was the copyright owner of this material. Thus, I couldn't submit takedown requests, and I couldn't. There was no way for me. To claim that this clip was rightfully mine. And I lost full control over it. Not only did the video continue to go big and to the detriment of my relationship with that other family, but maybe more importantly, like that family, that child lost out on what potentially would have been like their entire college fund paid for in a few days with this clip on YouTube. So the lesson is get permission. Whenever you are earned out, get permission from someone before you publish it. But two, in hindsight, don't delete your clips from YouTube. Just make them private instead. That way you can still prove that you own the clip and that if there's any time it's contested, you can say, no, I own it. I uploaded it first. Even if it's private, you can submit takedown requests. I couldn't do that. And I learned definitely the hard way not to do that again.
God. It sucks. The trifecta sucks. Get your videos signed off. Get permission for everything that you're pushing out there. But also control the environment. Know where you are and what you're losing if you're actually deleting something. You got to know how to actually reverse and backpedal on something like that. Oh, my gosh. All right. Quick break. We want to, again, thank our title sponsor, Ahrefs. Are you sick of competitors outranking you in search results? Wish there was an easier way to get more Google traffic? One option is hiring an agency. It could be costly. Another is to leverage a tool that tells you what to do. So the solution that we're putting in front of you here is Ahrefs Webmasters Tools. It's free. Go to edgeoftheweberadio.com/AWT to receive a full free website audit tool that's always free. They're a fantastic platform, Ahrefs is, to understand your key search, engine ranking factors, one of the most solid link analysis platforms in the market. Check out one of my favorite tools for link building opportunities, the Link Intersect tool. You can see linking competitors, what they link to, but not you. So the pages that outrank you likely have more links than yours. So why not see who's linking to those pages, but not yours? You can also find some local citation opportunities, as well as many more things. Isn't it time that you get started getting Google to work for your business? So check out edgeoftheweberadio.com/AWT for their free Webmasters tool today. All right.
All right. I've got an update. At the top of the show, Morty was making a joke about, is the Indy 500 part of the Triple Crown?
Okay.
Because he knows about horse racing. But it is. I knew nothing about horse racing. Well, I guess that shows. It is. The Triple Crown of motorsports is the Indy 500.
Right.
24 hours of Le Mans.
Okay.
And the Monaco Grand Prix.
Got it.
So if you win all three of those, and I don't think it has to be in the same year, but if you win all three of those, you are a Triple Crown winner. One person has done it.
Fantastic. Here we Google all this while we're recording the show.
Absolutely. Because he asked, wow. I deliver answers.
Was it Seabiscuit? Did Seabiscuit do it?
It was not Seabiscuit in a race car.
All right. Hey, listeners, we want to let you know, HRS actually wants to hear about your own epic fails as well. Each week for the next 5 weeks, we're going to pick a great epic fail story from our listeners. So tweet your story to the hashtag Edge500, and we'll pick the ones that we like best. And HRS is going to be giving you a swag kit for that selection. So be sure to add the link to our show page. We'll send out a tweet to guide you all there. But we're going to be giving away a number of swag packs over the course of the next 5 weeks. So thanks to HRS for, again, sponsoring us, but also getting into the epic fail discussion as well. All right, pivoting around. Video 6 from the Dixon Jones of NLinks. Dixon Jones, fantastic guy, and he was with Majestic and NLinks.net, a current sponsor of the Edge News Show. He was also on episode 376 and 77, talking about semantic search. Check this story out.
So, hi, I'm Dixon Jones. I'm the CEO of NLinks.net. And before I was CEO of NLinks.net and marketing director of Majestic, I used to run an agency. I set up an agency called Receptional, ran it for about a decade. And back in those days, did you ever get one of those RFPs, requests for proposals? We filled out one of these and we were really going for what was our biggest client at the time. And we put all this effort into a plan for a link building strategy, for a content strategy, technical stuff, all sorts of bits and pieces. And at the time, it was our biggest win ever for a client. We'd won it off of another agency that we respected very much. So we were quite proud of it. And we put so much effort into it. And so rarely those RFPs come true. And the day that we took, or day before that we took over the contract, or the day as we took over the contract, the Penguin algorithm hit. And everything that we'd revised was pointless because they got really stuck with the penalty. Clearly the penalty had come from the work that the previous agency had done, but the previous agency had done what was right for the time before the Penguin algorithm. So you couldn't really blame the agency. The traffic, the organic traffic went to pretty much zero. All of our plans went out the window. And I think the moral of this lesson is, if you spend too much time planning what you're going to do next, then Google's going to catch you up and the algorithm's going to change. So don't live a life where you're just waiting for that cliff of a change. If you're doing well in the rankings, the only thing that can happen from there on in is the algorithm can change. And if you're doing perfectly before the algorithm changes, then you're not going to do so well afterwards. So that was my lesson. We didn't come off too badly out of it, but we didn't give the client the lift that they wanted. We just started recovering their penguin problem.
Medic. Yeah, we hear more and more of those, but
the old algorithm.
The old algorithm. You got to know what the previous agency also did, because you can inherit a garbage bag full of bad efforts that Google may not have caught up with yet, but they soon will. We've experienced that with a terrible link building campaign from a previous agency that worked with one of our clients. And we literally had to basically scoop them out of, it wasn't a manual error, but it was certainly a sizable devalue and toxic links out there. What do you think about Dixon's perspective there? That the one thing that's guaranteed is that Google's going to change, right?
Basically. I mean, you know, especially I would say pre the modern set of core updates where you kind of didn't know what it was about, what's going on. Now you kind of realize, you should realize, I think, that you're talking about really good content, targeted content, nuanced content, content of substance and quality that targets your user demographic well. Great. But like back then, like, oh, okay. But if this was all it was new.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
You're like, I mean, I remember when Penguin 4.0 came out, that was like, oh, okay, novel. Like now it's going to update in real time. I don't need to wait till the next version comes out to be restored.
Right.
That's wonderful.
Quote unquote. Asterisk.
Wonderful.
But again, you do know that things are going to change. And it's kind of like we always use the analogy of, sailing a ship, is that the waters of search are choppy, especially in the more competitive spaces. That's why we see volatility scores happening all the time. The only guarantee is that things will change, and you have to be able to be agile and be able to adjust. And whatever your plans were, right? You can rest assured that you're going to have to rig up another sail or two here. We want to swing around and show this video from Olga Zarzdeshna from SEO Sly. Check this one out.
Hi, it's Olga from SEO Sly. I'm very happy to be part of the special edition of the Edge of the Web Radio show. And today I want to share with you one of my first failures in SEO. So this happened, I don't know how many years ago, I believe maybe around 10 years ago. So these were the beginnings of my SEO career. I was an in-house SEO back then, and we were working on a new site for a new project, new product. And I kind of jumped into very deep water. I was responsible for supervising this entire project, communicating with developers and making sure the site is very SEO friendly. Everything is kind of working the way it should. And I really did, but I made one very classic SEO mistake. So as soon as we launched, of course, I submitted the site to Google Search Console, and I started to wait until Google indexes the site. Back then, it sometimes took some time for Google to index the site. It wasn't that fast as it is now. So I submitted the site and I was waiting. But a week passed, 2 weeks passed, and the site just couldn't get into index. I was wondering what's going on, but I was thinking that, yeah, that's probably normal. This is a new site, we have to keep waiting. And we waited for another 2 or 3 weeks. And then I realized that the site simply had a no index tag. So that's
yes!
why it wasn't getting indexed. So when I'm thinking about it right now, this is like a very classic SEO mistake. And today, it would be way easier for me to not make this mistake, because I use a lot of different Chrome extensions. When I was on the show with Erin a few months ago, we were discussing those SEO extensions for Chrome. And one of those extensions simply shows you when a site has a no index tag, so you don't even have to crawl the site, you don't even have to like view the code manually. You just open the site and you will see in the bar with your Chrome extensions there a red color, which indicates the site has a no index tag. So you don't need to check it, you just see it. So today, probably I wouldn't make this mistake. I wouldn't make this mistake 10 years ago, maybe, if I were using this SEO plugin. So yeah, that was, I think, one of my biggest SEO failures. So make sure you, when you read this site, it does not have a no index tag. So that's all from me. Thank you.
You heard it here first. Finally got a site to rank.
And Olga, thank you so much for owning that. That must be the most common mistake.
That's terribly frustrating.
Oh, it is. It is. And we've seen it. We've done it here before. And you got to appreciate her honestly, because that just...
Now I know why she focuses so much on SEO tools.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Like, it will never happen tools. Again. She was recently on episode 447 and 449 as we talked about the different Chrome extensions and some great SEO tools out there. So thank you, Olga, for that and owning that space, because we've all done that one. All right. Friend of the show, Andrew Optimizey, is on deck. Let's have a look at what he experienced.
Hey, Aaron. Hey, Jacob. Hey, Edge of the Web folks. I wanted to congratulate you on your 500th episode. 500 episodes is a lot. I Googled this because you need context, right? 500 episodes is a lot, says who? So I Googled it, I'm good at that. Most of us for SEO folks are. So you have 500 episodes, which is more than you have friends. Sorry, more episodes than there are episodes of Friends. Sorry, that's my notes. But you also have more episodes than like Grey's Anatomy, which seems like it's been going on forever. Don't at me, Grey's fans, I don't understand that show. But more episodes than Friends, more episodes than ER, more episodes than SpongeBob Square. I'm gonna stop there. But congratulations on your 500 episodes. That's a lot. So I wanted to contribute to your 500th episode and tell you about my 500 error. My 500 error was I was working on a really big complex website. It was multi-language, multi-geography. There was about 30 different language versions, lots of different geographies they were aiming at, multiple versions of Spanish, multiple versions of French. You know, we've all kind of dealt with some of these really big websites. And all the different teams in all these different countries wanted all their different analytics systems set up in different ways. They wanted to only be able to see traffic that was affecting their site and affecting their business. And so I was going through analytics and setting up all these filters and filters and filters and filters and different views and all this thing. And I'd got it down to a fine art. I was doing it beautifully. It was sort of repeated process going through it. It was working so well until I got to the global website and had all these filters on. And I accidentally left one of them on, which filtered the wrong way around. So instead of include only traffic from Brazil, I did an exclude traffic from Brazil, which then seems like it works okay, but then I applied that to the global website and I kind of excluded half the traffic from all. I mean, it was still there, it was still working for people, but the marketing team and the global site weren't particularly thrilled with me because I kind of wiped out one of their huge geographies from all their traffic for a couple of days before anybody noticed, and then I fixed it again. So there's my 500 error. Don't do that one, folks. Make sure you double check all your filters and have a sandbox in Google Analytics like we all should, so you can test things before you release them to live data that people are actually relying on for all their reporting. That was my 500 error.
Oh my gosh. those filters are pretty powerful. Now, again, it didn't affect the website, but can you imagine a number of teams of marketers hunting for Andrew's head on a pike?
That's terrible. He's a nice fellow. You never want to see that.
Did he just say that I don't have...
That was great. That was the best part of the show so far, was him trolling you like that. Great job, Andrew. I owe you $5.
There you go. All right. So our ninth video of our show here is from the Barry Schwartz of Search Engine Roundtable and Search Engine Land. Have a listen to what he did.
Hey, I'm Barry Schwartz from Search Engine Roundtable, Search Engine Land, Rusty Brick. Title. Any event, Edge of the Web is celebrating their 500th, so they asked me for something that look back at and say I did something wrong or bad or evil. And I did once, or probably multiple times. I don't remember exactly all the times. I wrote a lot of blog posts, but the only blog post that I actually ever put in my robot.txt file to block was about a story that I wrote about a girlfriend getting back at her boyfriend, specifically around using or basically doing some type of photo meme in Google image search, basically putting tons of images of her boyfriend on the web, got them indexed, and they're all memes, negative memes about the boyfriend. I thought it was an amazing SEO story because you have this normal high schooler girl getting revenge on her boyfriend, specifically using Google image search to do so. And I thought it was an amazing SEO case study. That happened. That story actually got picked up by like TMZ and all these gossip blogs. And the family of the boyfriend was devastated. And I'm like, I never thought anybody outside the SEO community would be interested in this. And I thought you'd never see it. I thought it was just one of these funny case studies. And I ended up, you know, helping the family as best as I could. But once it was out there, once it was on the web and TMZ and all these major news sites, it was crazy. Still find it crazy that actually these sites picked up this story. In any event, I robots the site out. It's still there if you want to check my robots.txt file.
robots.txt.
Still there. Because again, once it's out there, it's doing something there. I thought it was a great case study for SEOs. Getting more mainstream, like high schoolers using it and stuff like that. But it was the one case where I'm like, oh, this story really needs to be blocked from search engines, at least from my site. And that's what I did. So anyway, happy 500th to the Edge of the Web, and keep listening.
Leave it to Barry to come up with a story that like makes like SEO into like All My Children or General Hospital.
But you know, see, he also he pointed out that you can also find the file. Oh, this robot's not next.
You know, that's the first thing I'm going to do after we record this episode, right?
I've already looked. It is the only entry on his robots.txt. The only one that's there.
The only one.
That's the only thing on his robots.txt is that link.
That's amazing. So,
always causing drama, that Barry. I'm saying, causing drama.
You know, the lesson learned there is a digital wake is a digital wake, right? And it's a lot of things that can happen. I mean, with Tim's story and Barry's story, you gotta also kind of think ahead of the ramifications of publishing. Lord knows something comes out of the woodwork that you're not planning on. But hey, Barry was on episode 170. How about that? That's a deep cut.
Really?
Yeah, way back in the way. You got to check that one out.
And also more recently.
And almost. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But his first appearance on the show was a few years back. All right. Our last video of the episode. And thanks, everybody, for listening and participating. All the guests that were jumping in and sharing this information. The last one is the Morty Oberstein. Cut one, go.
Embarrassing.
Hi there. I'm Morty Oberstein, head of SEO branding at Wix, and I'm excited to be over the edge with you. 500 episodes of Edge of the Web. That's amazing. And we're talking about mishaps, mistakes. I don't know where to start. We can talk about the mishap of joining a weekly news podcast with a self-absorbed host every week. Wink, wink.
Hey, you knew it was coming.
I can talk about the time that I accidentally was showing a demo of a site to someone and I de-indexed the page for like 6 months.
Oh, yeah, I just mentioned that.
There was a whole issue with Google recalling sites at the time, so there was that. I think the one I do want to talk about most, though, is when I had a whole list of SEO recommendations for a client, and they said, hey, we have other considerations outside of SEO. What are you doing? And that's where I kind of learned, hey, think about SEO a little bit more holistically. So what happened was I had a whole list of, I'm going to do this to your website. What do you think? And they were like, well, yeah, but I want to do all of these things also because it's important for my CRO, or it was more important to their branding that they were trying to execute. Their photography website, it was a whole to do, and they were trying to rebrand, and I had all these things I thought they should do, and they thought, no, I need to do this because of the branding. And it was a big back and forth about, and I wasn't successful with it. I'll be honest with you. I should have let go a little bit and picked my battles a little bit better. And I think over time, what would have happened was we would have implemented some of the initial things that I wanted to do. And then over time, the rest of the things that I wanted to do, once they felt comfortable with where they wanted to go, what they were doing around their branding, once that was a little more settled in, I think I could have been more successful with some of the more, I guess, controversial items on my list of things to do. But I didn't. I said, oh, like, this is SEO. We should do this. And you're going to get organic traffic like this. But like, yeah, well, right now I'm pulling in most of my traffic from socials. And what you're doing is contrary to the branding that I want to be doing on social. So I don't think that makes any sense. And I was like, no, but organic traffic. It makes sense to take things slowly with a client. It makes sense to consider their larger branding efforts. It also makes sense to consider their branding as part of your SEO, which I know may sound a little bit silly to some people, but I kind of like doing that now. This kind of taught me that, like, consider the larger branding effort as part of your SEO strategy. I can go on and on forever about this, but that's my general advice. That was the general mishap that I did, and I pushed too hard because I'm a stubborn SOB. Anyway, 500 episodes, congrats again, and see you around soon. Wink, wink, Aaron.
Right here, right now.
Right, exactly. Look, it's inception. Yeah. All right, so client priorities versus your own strategy. You got to listen.
I didn't like that guy anyway.
What a putz.
Basically, this is what happens. Like, again, like, I do most of my, like, I do these little side things on the side to, you know, kind of keep my skills fresh, and I just enjoy doing it. And some local guy's like, hey, I heard you do SEO. It was one of these cases. Again, it's always one. And it was a pain in the butt. And I was also a stubborn SOB. I admit it. And it didn't work out well. And I don't talk to that guy anymore. I didn't talk to him to begin with, but.
I'm going to use that as the ringtone for Morty. He's just a stubborn SOB, right?
It's true. No, I am. I admit it.
Well, thank you, Morty. We want to end up with your testimony there. Dude, you've been with us for a year and a half. You're the longest frequent flyer of Edge of the West. So we wanted to thank you very much.
Stubborn SOB.
You are a stubborn SOB. You are not going away. Hey, thanks so much, Morty. I appreciate your participation. Certainly thanks to the Edge team as well for putting all this together and hanging with us for 10 years, 500 episodes. There's a future of Edge of the Web. And we could very well just stop here and call it a day, right?
Then we're going to 1,000.
We're
going to
go to 1,000.
We're sitting here with oxygen tanks in the nursing home.
I remember the day.
I think Barry Schwartz, come on, tell us about how he...
It's not new.
...caused people to, you know, to whatever on some sort of general hospital of SEO with there, Barry Schwartz.
Yeah. All right, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's predict, what do you think the number one SEO story will be on episode 1000? Just right now, just what do you think it's going to be?
Oh, my Lord.
Is it something we can even conceptualize at this point?
Yeah, you're going to be wet-wired into the Matrix at that point.
I cause an intergalactic space battle when I accidentally de-index Planet Vuktar's website, which caused great offense with the Vuktarians.
I think it's as good a guess as any.
I think so, yeah.
I think it's going to be something related around augmented reality.
Yeah.
You know.
Aren't we living in an augmented reality?
Maybe.
Sure. Absolutely.
What do you think, Aaron?
I know I am.
I think at that point in time, having a plain white page will be the best thing that you can ever... A plain page with no text, no images, nothing, but one word.
Nothing.com.
Nothing.com. There you go.
What would happen if you search for nothing.com?
just don't search for Time Cube. How about that?
Yes.
Hey, some future thoughts of Edge of the Web to let our listeners know. We got some interesting stories that we're going to be looking into, diving into the philosophies of search as well as philosophies of customer interaction. Possible some series shows as well, taking on some specialties and tactics with a series of top influencers. So we're going to be dialing that in a little bit differently over the next year here. But we certainly appreciate everybody listening to the show, watching the show, and contributing. Thank you so much for the reviews that you provide, and please. Jump in there if you hadn't done it before. Rate thispodcast.com/edge, and it'll take you over to the different platforms that you can rate us, because that's how you can participate in the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe to Edge the Web on YouTube, and if you're really feeling up to it, like I said, drop us a review there. Morty, thanks so much for being part of this episode. Duly appreciate that.
Thanks for having me for the 500th episode. Being over the limit. Thank you for letting me go over the edge with you.
Ah, see,
on your 500th
episode. That's not creepy at all.
I didn't mean it in a creepy way. I kind of meant this. Hey, congratulations, but thanks for turning it on its head and putting me down. Really appreciate that. Here's some Jewish guilt for you.
No worries. Thanks so much. I need that. I need that from you. again, thanks to the Edge team, and certainly appreciate all the work that we do. And thanks to our title sponsor, Ahrefs. Make sure you go over to edgeofthewebradio.com/AWT. Make sure you check out all the must-see videos and much more over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Be sure to check out the second episode of the Krista Seiden interview as we unpack GA4. It's training and a lot of insight that she gives us, so go check that out. From all of us over at Edge, thanks for listening. Stay safe, stay well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you in the next 500. Bye-bye.
Hey there. I'm Darren Shaw.
This is Andy Drinkwater.
This is Eli Schwartz, author of Product-Led SEO and Growth Advisor.
This is Garrett Sussman of iPollRank Agency, and you're listening to Edge of the Web.
This is Joe Martinez from the Paid Media Pros YouTube channel.
This is Johnny Ross from Fleek Marketing.
This is Michelle Morgan from the Paid Media Pros YouTube channel.
I'm Morty Oberstein.
Hi, this is Andrew from Optimizey.
This is JD Prater.
This is Sherry Bonelli from Early Bird Digital Marketing.
Hi, this is Benjamin Shapiro from the Voices of Search podcast. And
you're listening to
Edge of the Web.
You're listening to Edge of the Web.
Remember, don't be a piece of cyber driftwood.
And always remember, don't be a piece of cyber driftwood.
Don't be a piece of cyber driftwood.